But anyhow, I'm excited about the message that the Lord's given these the different ones who preach, and it's just good. And also, I got another little ad. And don't y'all mess up the thumb that it's gonna come out. But all those in our class on Saturday, don't be taking any notes to add to your message, okay? And that's a disclaimer. You'll see in a few moments. Amen. But anyhow, come on, Brother Russell, and I'm excited for the message tonight. You listen, grab a hold, and then apply. Amen.
Well, I have my own disclaimer. These notes are from him. I'm just preaching what he's prepared.
Is it on? Okay, turn them up some more, brother.
All right. So this evening, I'm pleased to and privileged to preach God's word. And as Pastor said, sometimes we're called upon to preach God's word, and it may not always be a comfortable spot for any of us. And when we preach to ourselves first. So
yes, sir.
Just keep that in mind. And this evening, if you'll take your Bibles and turn over to Malachi chapter 3, and now I'm looking at the preachers. I'm looking at all the preachers that are in this preachology class.
Yeah.
And another disclaimer, I was not in that class, so this is directly from God. I didn't have your notes, and I'm not privy to anything that you all learned or that you were discussing. So this is just straight from the Lord. So Malachi chapter 3, if you'll stand with me, and we're going to read verses 7 through 11. Malachi chapter 3, 7 through 11. Malachi chapter 3, 7 through 11. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. And verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So the Lord being our help this evening, that's reading chapter 3 of Malachi, verses 7 through 11. I'd like to preach a word that the Lord has given to me entitled Tithing the Trust Fund. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, and we just pray, Lord, that you'd bless us tonight, bless those who are here, and this message is for all of us, intended to speak to our hearts, and then, Lord, to change those areas that need to be tweaked and honed in on. Lord, help us to leave a better person as a result of this message, and help us to do exactly what you would have us to do, and we'll give you the thanks and praise, honor, and glory for it all, in your Son's name, Jesus, and amen.
Amen.
I'll just turn this over. All right. So, the introduction, just a little bit, a brief introduction. It's just money. So, what's all the fuss about anyway? When we think about the monetary value of a dollar, we think about the change that we have in our pocket. We think about the money that you may have in your wallet. We think about the ladies that you have the money in your purse. For those of you who receive a personal check, an employment check, or wherever you draw your funds from. What's all the fuss about anyway? When it comes to tithing, what is the discussion? What is it that's so hard for us to understand? Yeah. And why are we so compelled to look at what Dr. Malachi, to see what Malachi has to say? And in this first piece of the introduction, there's a lot of information that I like to cover. I'm going to speak at the rate of an auctioneer, so I can squeeze all of this in 5 minutes. But there's a lot to know about money. We can't live without it. We can't live with it, and it will destroy us. And the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. So what is it that draws us to hold on to it then? What would make us hold on to this money when we knowingly know what we need to do with it, all right? So when we look at God, we know that God is interested in your money, all right? We know that piece of it. Not because he needs your money, but for he certainly does not, but because you need it. So because you need it, God is interested in your money. So he wants us to focus on a few interesting areas on how we secure it, how we spend it, how we save it, and how we share it. So what is it about this money that draws us in to gather it, to glean from it, to pull from it? And what makes us draw to that? Well, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21 says it this way. Brother Matthew hits the nail on the head when he says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also."
Amen.
So where is your heart this evening when it comes to monetary value or the money that we have, the money that we glean from our personal employment, the money that we achieve in our workspace, the money that we acquire doing whatever we do? What are we doing with that money?
Yes.
And then how can Jesus Christ be Lord and not be Lord over your money? So if he's going to be Lord over us and he's good enough to save us, he's good enough to keep us, he died on the cross for us, and yet we're toying with the monetary value of a paycheck, and we're not going to entrust him to pay for those bills that we have forthcoming, and we can't tithe because we have all these bills that we have to pay. And so we struggle with that, and many times we struggle with doing what we know to do, what the Bible says to do, and yet we're not doing what God's Word says for us to do. So, but it's uncomfortable, and so none of us like to talk about money, and quite honestly, I don't know when the last time the message that I've ever heard a preacher preach on tithing. It's not a comfortable spot to be in. All I know is that when the Lord asked me to do it, I knew that I had to, and I know it's not a comfortable spot for any of us to be in. But when he talks to us and tells us that we need to do that, then his God word preaches it to me first. I receive it just as many of the preachers do. And then we're called to proclaim God's word.
Amen.
And so here he says, "Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me." So just a quick point of interest in this introduction. It doesn't belong to us to begin with. All right. So this little bit of money that we glean from, and however big your paycheck is, praise the Lord for the amounts of money that you can squander in your wallet. Your bank accounts can be overflowing. But if you're not giving unto the Lord, then you're robbing him.
Yes, ma'am.
If you're not giving unto the Lord, then you're robbing the Lord. All right. So, why is it so important, though, that we even talk about this evening? And why would the Lord impress upon me to even talk about this? I mean, it's not a well-common, talked-about sermon topic, but it's mentioned quite a bit in the Bible. And I know you all know these verses. There's verses about faith, about 500 maybe. Prayer, maybe about 500. Money, there's over 2,000 verses in the Bible that hit specifically about money or our attitude about money.
Yeah.
So it's huge. So we really do need to delve into research and then not only look at it, but then to see how we can do a better job at using the God's money that he's given to us to return it back to him.
Amen.
So remember the story Jesus told about the widow's mite? Does anybody remember that?
Yeah.
All right. So the Pharisees were giving their large offerings and the little lady gave her two mites. That's what she had.
Yeah.
But she gave it. All right. So in faith believing, she had two mites. She gave what she had. All right. So what about this? What if the Lord told us sharing? That's I love that part. Sharing. What if the Lord asked us to give our last dollar? Would we be willing to do that for the house of the Lord? If the Lord said, "Brother Russell, you have $1 left. Now I'm going to ask you to give it. I want you to give it in faith, believing that I'm going to give you and I'm going to increase you for your faith and your trust in me."
Yeah.
You give and I'll bless you as a result. Would I be willing to do that? Knowing that I've got a heap of bills stacked upon my desk at home, which thankfully I don't. Right, Rob? But if we did and the Lord asked me to do that, what position am I in? If we talk about tithing in this trust fund, am I trusting the Lord to be able to say, "Lord, you told me to do it, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to put my faith and trust in you to believe that you're able to help to see me through. You asked me to give it. You're going to bless as an end result." Then what about this? The unjust steward in Luke chapter 16. At the end of the story, Jesus said, "If you have not been faithful with your money, who do you expect to commit to the true riches?" And that whole story has to do with our attitude toward money.
Yeah.
So in the little things, then why would we expect the Lord to trust us with some of the bigger things?
Yes, sir.
What about this? The rich young ruler came to Jesus and asked what he had to do to be his follower. And guess what the Lord said? And I'll just paraphrase this. You all know this. Jesus said, "Sell all you have, come and follow me." But he couldn't do it. And he went away sorrowful because he didn't own his possessions. They owned him.
Preacher.
So how much of our stuff, how much of our money owns us? We're trapped in the bondage of a monetary value of a dollar bill or however much that you have in your wallet. And we struggle with relinquishing that to pay, to give a tithe or to give an offering, whatever the Lord is asking us to do. And maybe many of us struggle with that as an opportunity, living a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. When we know scripturally, the Bible says in Malachi that we're to do that very thing. And if you don't, it's called robbing God.
Yes, sir.
We rob God if we don't do what we're told to do.
Amen.
So the rich young ruler, and clearly God is interested in your money. And I'll tell you who else is interested in your money. Any thoughts? Any thoughts in who else may be interested in your money? Satan. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because he will tell you that it's okay. You don't really need to give that little bit of money that, you know, what's that little bit of a percentage going to do for that church?
Come on.
That whole little bit of a percentage of amount that you have to take off the top of your first fruits, really, that doesn't mean a hill of beans. That the church can make it without that.
Yeah.
You need it more. Look at your bills. Those bills are stacking up, and you need to pay your bills. You know that the NIPSCO is going to be shut off. You can't live without water. And all those other things.
Yeah.
He'll remind us of that, and he'll toy with us and tempt us to do what's wrong and struggle with trying to do what's right.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. Have you ever seen a piece of flypaper? Does anybody know what flypaper is? So flypaper is the stuff that is a centrifugal, however you say that. It goes like this, and it's sticky, all right? So it attracts the flies, and it's got a honey-based sticky substance on it that draws them to that. Now, for the life of me, why they would go to that is beyond me, but obviously they don't know the power of that stuff that they're going to stick to it.
Yeah.
So it draws them. And they stick to it. But the whole time that they're being sensed by this drawing power to this flypaper, they want the honey. I want the honey. I want the honey. I want the honey. They're drawn to the sticky substance. When they're attached to this sticky substance, then it's too late because then they can never be set free. They can never be set free. So it's sort of like us with money. We have some money, we want a little bit more. We want more money, more money, more money, more money, more money. And before too long, we're bound by this bondage of money. And we can't live with it. We can't live without it. And we struggle with the amount of what we currently have. And so then we're not going to do what we know godly we should be doing, and that is giving of our tithes and giving of our offerings. So let me ask you this then. It's not my responsibility to make sure everybody's obeying, but it is clearly my responsibility to preach God's word and to proclaim his truth. And that's why I'm preaching this evening. So there's three groups of us here this evening, three groups of us in this room right this very moment. The first group is this. It's all mine. I worked. I earned it. I deserve it. Can do what I want to with it. And when the offering plate goes by, I'll give what I want. But I don't have to. If I feel led to give a dollar, I'll give a dollar. If I feel led to give a $20 bill, I'll give a $20 bill. But it's all mine. And I can do with it what I want. That's the first person. The second person, the tithe belongs to God and the rest is mine. That's 90%. And pastors are going to speak about this in a minute. But the 90% is mine. All right? So that remainder of 90% in obedience, I'll give 10%, but the rest, I'll do with it what I want. I'll just do whatever I want with the remainder of the 90%. Then this third one may be you. It all belongs to him.
Amen.
every red cent, every dime, every nickel, everything belongs to him to begin with. And so the tithe, the rest of it, I return to him and what he has commanded, and he entrusts me with the rest of his money. Not my money, it's his money. And so just because I return the tithe, that doesn't give me the right to do whatever I want with the remainder of the
90%. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So we have the tithe, we have the offering, but we also are to be good stewards of what we have remaining.
Yes, sir.
So let me ask you this, and this is just the introduction. Where are we in that number, that numberage? Number one, number two, or number three? We all have money. Some have more, some have less, but we all have money. So this evening, we're going to look at tithing as a trust fund, all right? We're going to look at the definite proportion, what is it that we need to give, a designated place, where is it that we should be giving it, and then a divine purpose, because there is a divine purpose in giving.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I gave you time, John Lilly. I go fast. Well, now, so first thing we look at is now that we understand we have to return the tithe, what is the tithe? And I'm going to talk about the definite, definite proportion. 10% is a simple calculation. It is as simple as moving the decimal point. What is the tithe on $100? Somebody, tell me what it is.
$10.
What is the tithe of $1,000? Okay, what's the tithe of $482?
$48.
There you go, $48.20. Since the beginning of time, tithing has been God's method. God's people throughout all history have maintained the practice of returning to God the first 10%.
Amen.
Some say that's Old Testament law.
Yeah.
No! God put it in the heart of his people long before the law
Amen.
Was ever given.
Right.
Look at Genesis 14 and verse 17. Genesis 14 verse 17. They took all the spoils of war, all their increase, and gave it unto the priests for the continuation of God's work. Look what the Bible says in Genesis 14 and verse 17. These are some good scriptures, some working scriptures, true scriptures, applicable scriptures, convicting scriptures. The Bible says in chapter 14, verse 17, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Kedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaven, which the kings dale. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Watch it. And he blessed him and said,
yeah.
Blessed be Abram
Amen.
Of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thine hand.
Amen.
Watch what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And he gave them what?
Amen.
Tenth or tithes of all. Tithe is 10%.
Amen.
This is before
yeah.
the law.
Amen.
The law ain't been given yet.
Yeah.
This is before the law.
Right.
And we see that Abraham tithed. He commenced it. Now look at Genesis 8:28, verse 22. Of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth unto thee. And that word tenth also, once again, means, the word tithe means a tenth. Look what it says in Genesis 28 and verse 22. The Bible says this, and this stone which I have set for a pillar, the Bible says, he says, hey, shall be God's house. Okay? And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth. Oh my.
Mm-hmm.
The tenth unto who? Unto thee.
Right.
He says, this is God's house, and I'm going to give a tenth unto thee.
Amen.
Now this is once again before
Amen.
The law.
Right.
Okay? Now run with me to Matthew 23, verse 23. A few hundred years later, Malachi confirmed it. We read it a moment ago. Then a few years later, Jesus commended it. Look at Matthew 23 and verse number 23. Now for those who are, it's in the New Testament. What does the New Testament say? Well, let's see what it says. Look at Matthew 23 and verse number 23. The Bible says this, Matthew 23 and verse 23. The Bible says this. The Bible says, in verse 23, he says, Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, oh my soul, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of law.
Yeah.
Judgment, mercy, and faith. Watch this, y'all. These ought ye to have done.
Amen.
Pastor, see that preacher?
Yeah.
That's what we ought to be doing. Hold on, baby. Mm-hmm. Then he says, and not to leave the other one.
Right. Amen.
So in other words, y'all been tithing, but I want you to do this, but also do this, and don't leave the other undone.
Amen.
It all was supposed to be done. We've now crossed over into the New Testament, and God and Jesus
Amen.
Is commending them
yes.
for these things.
Amen.
Then, my dear friends, we run out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 7. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. It has always been God's method. He has always used his people to do his work. Watch this, y'all. Watch this. The water of life flows freely at sunrise.
Amen.
Guess what?
Yeah.
But the plumbing costs what? Money.
Amen.
Tell somebody. Power bills, maintenance, upkeep, pastoral salary, supplies,
Amen.
Et cetera. For those who mentioned before, tithing was just a duty. It was a delight.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 9, verse number 7. Who it says, 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 7. The Bible says this, chapter 9, verse number 7. The Bible says, God's word says right here, he says, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a sour giver.
No.
I'm sorry. A cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. Let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. That's the right motive, love and obedience.
Amen.
Tithing is a privilege, and it is a definite proportion.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right, so we have the introduction. We have the proportion. We well defined what it is that a tithe actually is. It's 10%. It's 10% of your pay. So we have 10% that we struggle with, and that often it feels like a hefty amount, especially when you know that you have a stack of bills this high. So where is this trust factor at? Where is this tithing trust fund? And how does it come into play that we realize that the Lord has given us all of it to begin with? And how is it then he wants us to trust him, to believe in what he says? So the local church is where we have our membership, right? For those of you who are members here, this is our local church. This is where we belong. This is where we're fed. This is where our pastor preaches. We sing. We gather together. We fellowship together. And this is our storehouse. This is the storehouse, all right? And so in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says it this way, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. So this is the storehouse. If you're a member here, or if you attend here regularly, or if this is where you're fed, you come and you worship, then you are called upon to bring your tithes, your 10%, here.
Yeah.
This is where you worship. And so we're called upon to do that. Now, a reference to the Old Testament temple, part of the temple was the storehouse. And this was an agricultural society. So back then it was an agricultural society. And when they harvested, they brought the first tenth of their wheat and their corn and et cetera, and they brought it to the storehouse. All right. When their herds gave birth, they took one of the tenth to the storehouse.
Yeah.
So it was used to feed the priest for animal sacrifices, medium of exchange, to continue the work of God. So why would we struggle? Can we just park here for just a minute? Why would we struggle if the Lord tells us to give 10% and we choose not to do it? Why is it that we have a hard time with that? We all have bills, right?
Yes.
We all struggle with paying finances on things that we struggle with. And quite honestly, and sometimes it's hard to make ends meet. And I know I'm probably like preaching to the choir because we all live that, right?
Yes, sir.
But, you know, we cannot afford not to tithe.
Amen.
We cannot afford to rob God, all right? To bring the 10% to the storehouse. So the tithe was brought to the storehouse where the people worship. And today, that's the local New Testament church. And that's here, Sunrise Church. So some think that you may have a side deal with God, or that he's told you specifically that you take your tithe, your 10%, and you spend it somewhere else. That you take that 10% and you give it to, is this live?
No, it's not.
Give it to a missionary. You take that 10% and you give it to a family that you know is struggling and is in dire straits and in a huge need. And you know that 10% is going to help them, right? You take that 10% and you buy things for the church because you know the church needs a lot of stuff. And man, we're out of a lot of stuff here. So you don't put your tithe in. The Lord has told you specifically, you take that 10% and Brother Russell, I'm asking you to buy things with it. No, absolutely not. We are to take the money, the 10%, and bring that money to the storehouse. Anything else above and beyond is your offering to the Lord. If you're called upon to support a missionary, then that's exactly what you do. If the Lord wants you to support a missionary, then praise the Lord. You do that with the remainder of the 90% that you're given. And if you're called upon to support the funds and the supplies here, then praise the Lord, you do that too. You buy the paper towel and you buy the soap, you buy the toilet paper. Lord knows we need all of that stuff, but that's not your 10%. 10% is a tithe.
That's right.
And that's given to the storehouse. So we come together on God's day with God's people to study God's word, and we ought to bring us God's tithe.
Yeah.
It's not our tithe.
Right.
It's God's tithe. Also, tithe where you're fed. Now, you don't eat and run, right? At least I've never done this. God help me. I hope I never have to do this. Robin's never done it either. That's just a disclaimer. We have never been to a restaurant and not paid. We have never eaten and run. So why would we come here and expect to be fed and leave without paying? And leave without tithing when we're called upon to do that? And it's not, it's a dutiful thing. It's not something that we can't do that the Lord won't support us in helping us to do. So if y'all do that at McDonald's, I don't want to know. But me and Miss Robin have never done that. I don't intend on doing that. So, and we don't, you don't send your tithe to an organization or any of these other things, because we're commanded to tithe it, to bring it here. God has promised, and just incidentally, it's His money to begin with, but God has promised to meet the needs of Sunrise Church whether or not you tithe, but you're commanded to do it. He asked us to do it, to return back what belongs to Him to begin with. And this is the storehouse right here, Sunrise, for those of us who are members, for those of us who worship regularly here and we're fed here. We get the preaching, we get the fellowship, we gather together and we claim the victory in Jesus' name. This is the storehouse. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. How about this? And this is powerful. And for those of us who may struggle, and you might say, Brother Russell, that's easy for you to say, you're not in my financial situation, but how about me? How about you and me talk about my finances, and then you tell me how I can split the hairs of the finances that I have, and you tell me how I'm supposed to pay my tithes. Let me just share with you what God's Word says. That'll be the best. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. So all the tithes, we've already defined it through the introduction and the proportionate amount that the pastor just spoke about, 10%. Bring it all, that 10%. All right? You bring that. You bring that to the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. In other words, the Lord is saying, look, I'm going to give you the opportunity, and I'm going to ask you to do this very thing. I'm going to ask you to trust me, to believe in me, and to bring in that 10% that rightfully belongs to me. It's 100% that I own. I've given you all of it. All I'm asking back is 10%. And I'm asking for you to bring back 10%. In verse 10, he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. So prove him. Right now, this evening, there may be, and God knows I don't know, there may be those of you who have never tithed according to the ordinances, according to God's word. You've never tithed a 10% opportunity on a paycheck in your whole life. That's between you and the Lord. But what I'm asking you to do this evening is just park here for a minute and prove him. What he's saying is to prove me. He's asking us to prove him. So we look at our finances and we say, man,
I'm going to prove the Lord with what I have, but I'm struggling with these bills over here. How is it that he's going to help me to pay all of these when I can't even, how can I pay my tithe and pay all my bills too? But he says it. I didn't say it. He says it. In verse 10, he says it this way. So, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. So you want a blessing? You want your finances to be ironed out? Now, I'm not saying that this is a panacea, that immediately all your woes and your troubles and your issues with your finances is going to be immediately solved. But I'm telling you, God's Word says for us to do this, we will get a blessing.
Yes, sir.
We are called on to do this very thing. We want our finances to be blessed. We struggle with it mathematically. I know it doesn't make sense, and I stand up here, and I can't explain it to the fullest extent either. I'm not a mathematician, but God is, and He can take a dollar and stretch it more than anybody.
Amen.
And many of us have lived that.
Yes, sir.
And I'm just here to tell you what God's Word says. Take the 10%, entrust Him. It's a trust fund. Give it to Him and trust Him and prove Him. God's Word says to prove Him, saith the Lord of hosts. And then, watch this. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be not be room enough to you to receive it. So it's going to blow your mind. In simple terms, it will blow your mind. And the money that you didn't know that you had will come in, and some way or another, all your bills will start to be getting paid, and all these things will fall into place. The Lord does not lie.
That's right. Amen.
The Lord does not go back on His Word, and His Word will not return void. It will purpose and do what it is intended
Amen.
To do. And if He tells us to do it, then we need to trust Him and to obey.
Yes, sir.
All right. So ever heard anybody say, I can't afford to tithe, Brother Russell?
Yeah.
I can't afford to tithe. Well, that's not really a viable statement, because quite honestly, you can't not afford to tithe.
Amen.
Yeah. Honestly, you have to consider what you say. If you say that you can't afford to tithe, you really need to consider that and just say, somehow or another, the Lord's going to make a way, that 10%, I'm going to pay that.
Yeah.
That belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to prove Him, and I'm going to wait for His blessing to come through, and watch and see how the Lord works in your life. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That kind of person that I just talked about looks at their budget and says, I'm going to deal with all of these obligations, and then if I can afford it, I'm going to pay my tithe. I can't afford it. Oops. I look at everything, and at the end, I can't afford it. I can't afford. I pay all my bills, and I can't afford to pay my tithe.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we say, oops. Well, so we end up not paying our tithe because we can't afford it. And then we try to struggle with giving God our leftovers.
Preacher.
God does not want our leftovers.
No,
He wants our first fruits.
First fruit.
He wants the first fruits. So why do we struggle with taking that off the top? Immediately. There should be no room for debate. All right. God's Word says it. Let's struggle with the thought of not doing it. Let's just do it. How about that? How about just do it? Take the 10% off. And if you have to mentally in your mind pretend that it never existed to begin with, give that back to the Lord. The 10% immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately. Yeah. And watch the Lord bless.
Amen.
All right. God says in Malachi, try me. Try this. See if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing bigger than even you are capable of receiving. Have you ever had a blessing that big?
Yeah.
Are we ready for a blessing that big? I am.
Yeah.
How about this? See if I am able to take the other 90%. You give the 10%. See if the Lord is able to take that remainder 90% that He has given you and make it go much farther than you will ever imagine.
Sure.
And even more so than the 100% that you started with.
Yeah.
He's able to do that.
Amen.
He's able to do that. Then He goes a step further. And this is where we may struggle. All right, so we go a step further. In verse 11,
And I will rebuke the devoured for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, back then, again, it was an agricultural society, and so they dealt a lot with environmental issues. So there were floods, and there were droughts, and there were locusts, and all those different things. So how about this? When we think about rebuking our devourer, the devourer that would devour our finances, like hospital bills or car repairs, financial bills that just stack up at home. We all have those personal bills that they all just stack up.
Yeah.
Tuition, anything that becomes a bill. How about any of that? All right. So those things want to devour our finances. All right. But my God makes shoes that last longer than any company. He can make a roof last longer than any roofing company ever. How will you fare with 90% and God as your partner? If God says, you know, Brother Russell, all I'm asking is for 10%. I'm going to let you have 90% and give you charge of that. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to live off of the 90%?
Yeah.
How are you going to do with the 90%? If you struggle with this, let me ask you this right this moment. So you say, well, Brother Russell, you still don't know my finances. And truth be known, you're absolutely right. I don't know anybody else's finances except Robin and I's. But how about this? How are you doing right now without tithing? The Lord allows you to keep your 100%. You're choosing not to tithe. So that 10%, you're keeping yourself and you have the 100%. How are you doing with your finances now? The Lord would have us to know if God really blesses me, you'll tithe. If you get a big check, you'll tithe. We can't afford to add this to our bills. You can't really afford to tithe because you've got so many bills now that 10%, man, that would just wipe you completely out. But you've already got a lot of debt. That 10% every week or every 2 weeks or every month, however your pay cycle is, that 10% is going to throw the rug or pull the rug completely under your financial status. You cannot afford that. So what about the financial freedom that we all seek and that we all want? We all want financial freedom. But as a believer, you'll never be free until you obey this. And no Christian can skip over this step. You can't, and neither can I. When you tithe, there's always a blessing, and when you don't, there's always a curse.
Some of y'all can't take no much, too much more. But a divine purpose. Who should have thought, don't rob God? Turn this down a little bit, brother. There's nobody in here who said, well, I ain't going to rob. How can you rob God? who can stick up God? Nobody can stick up God. But look what the Bible says back over in Malachi chapter 3 and verses 8 and verse 9. The Bible says this, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, when have we robbed thee? He said, tithes and offerings. Uh-oh. Ye are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. When you and I, brothers and sisters, when you and I do not tithe, when we do not give offerings, we are robbing God. We have stuck God up, my dear friends. And then the Bible says, I didn't put it in there, the Bible says that we're cursed with a curse. Some of the reason why some of us can't move ahead, I ain't talking about money either. I'm talking because this affects all areas of your life. The reason we can't go ahead in our marriage, we can't go ahead in our family, is because, my friends, we have been getting some spankings from the Lord because we've not been doing our tithes and our offerings. It's almost like this. I like this illustration. In Africa, there's a certain monkey that's considered a delicacy to eat. Y'all hungry? They have a proven method for capturing these monkeys. They build a little box. They put a hole in the side of the box. They fill the box with nuts and fruit. The hole is just big enough for the monkey to slide his hand through. But once he grabs the food, making a fist, he can't get it back through the hole. And he will stand there for hours rather than to drop the food. Matter of fact, he's so greedy for the food, the natives can actually walk right up to him and knock him boop upside the head. He would rather die than to drop the food. My soul. He said, that would never happen to me. Man, think about that. He's hanging on to something that's about to destroy him. And sometimes we're hanging on to something that belongs to God, and we're going to wind up, my friends, getting hurt because we won't let it go. We won't say, man, I got to have that. Listen, if you want to cause a fight, you start messing with my wallet. You want to cause a fight? Listen, women will get beat half to death if a mother grabs their purse and try to pull it away. All my stuff's in there. I got my credit card. I got my clothes caught up in it. No. You can't have my Kohl's card. You can't have my what's on the mother stores? My JCPenney. Who you say, Miss Macy's? Amen. You can't have no. But now them cards ain't in that purse. Take that purse. You can have it. We're trying to hang on. Goes on and says this. Sunrise, we need to give to God on the divine purpose. Not because we have to, but in obedience and trusting, we desire to do what's right. Don't be cursed and believe you can make it without tithing. The conclusion of the whole matter, there may be individuals here tonight who are robbing God because they won't let go of a tithe. Who's in charge of your finances? You? Your banker? Your accountant? Your husband? Your wife? Or is it God? Start tonight. Tell God he's in charge of your finances by returning the tithe. I like this. It's a trust fund. It's a trust fund. Trust God and obey him. Never be saved. All God wants from you is you. He gave everything for you. Christian, will you give to him as you should? I don't know about you folks, but I want to make sure I give back to God what belongs to him. Amen. And you know how we do sometimes. We say, well, I'll give it next week. More than likely, next week won't come. Trust God from the top. If somebody gives me $10, you know what's going to happen? $1 of that is automatically going into the offering plate. $40, $4 automatically is going into the offering plate. Listen, my dear friends, hey, you know what? Listen, there are times we might be on the verge of like we're about to sink, but then all of a sudden God comes through once again. The question is, will we trust God with our trust fund? Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. I thank you, Lord, for the challenging message. And I have no doubt, Lord, you helped me. So I have no doubt, Lord, that you've been speaking to others too. And I pray and ask God, we will look at the scriptures, look at the word, and then ask ourselves the question, am I trusting God? Or am I trusting my abilities? Am I trusting my wisdom? Do I think I know how to do it? Father, it's amazing how you can do more with 90 than we can do with 100. And that's all you ask for. And that's just talking about the tithe. I didn't talk about the offering. But I do pray and ask God, as you speak to our hearts, I pray God we respond. I thank you, Lord, for the message. For the messenger, I thank you even more so for the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray, God, that this message will set someone free. If it's everybody, great. But if this does it for one person, God, that's worth it. We love you. Have your way now, Father. I pray folks will come and talk to you. Maybe it had nothing to do about this tithing or the trust fund. But, Lord, whatever they need to come talk to you about tonight, I pray, God, they come and talk to you about it. And then listen for your response. For it's your son's name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.